Great. Thank you so much for having us. What a lovely church. That's a nice church, isn't it? I'm sorry, I don't know if you know. I get around churches, and this is a nice church, all right? I'd stay here if I were you. this church is a keeper. Oh, bless you. Well, it's just great to see you. And I wanted to talk about the goodness and abundance of God. So as if we planned this. And seriously, we had no conversation about this whatsoever, did we? In fact, I wanted to preach on something else, and God said to me, no, I want you to preach on that. And so perhaps this may be a word from God. But goodness is about abundance, isn't it? That's what it is about. I'm really struck by a couple of passages. One in Jeremiah 29, which has been one of the drivers, really, for our ministry, which is, when the people of God have been taken away in exile, and all the intelligence of the country has been sort of put into slavery effectively. They've lost their temple, they've lost their city, they've lost everything. They're under this oppressive regime of Babylon, and they're really, really struggling. And and there's a prophet arises and says, hey, guys, keep yourselves to yourselves. We're going back soon, okay? A couple of years. That's all it'll take. A couple of years, okay? It's all going to get fine. It's all going to be fine. A bit like Brexit. It's all going to be fine. And what could possibly go wrong? And then Jeremiah is given this vision, which is the opposite of that, because Jeremiah's always given the opposite vision to anyone else. Jeremiah must have prayed for one popular message in the whole of his ministry, but he never got one. And he says, you're not going back. And in fact, I want you to build houses and plant gardens, and I want you to marry kids off, because you're here to bless this place, this brutal, brutal place which has taken you out of your place and is subjecting you to oppression. I want you to bless it. Now that's quite a messy. I don't know whether I would have done that, but the truth is that's what we're to live in, actually, because we increasingly live in a society where the goodness of God isn't necessarily honoured and respected, but we're to bless it. We're not to condemn it. We're not to shout at it. We're here to bless it. And come what may, that's what you do. You just bless, because God is the God of blessing and the God of goodness, and therefore you're to be good. And there's another passage taken up in the New Testament where Jesus sends out the 72, if you remember, and he sends them in mission. He says, goes on ahead of them, and he says, the harvest is plentiful, which means that God is abundant, okay? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest there to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or a bag or a sandal. Don't greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, say peace to this house. If someone promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating, drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Don't move around from house to house. And when you enter a town, you're welcomed. Bless it. And if they don't welcome you, then just walk away. Leave judgment to God, okay? Which is a really interesting passage, because actually they are shocking. Jeremiah's shocking passage. But this one, this Luke one's actually less shocking for us, because obviously it's not relevant for normal Christians, because this is really for professional Christians, you see. Missionaries, you see. And we get them up the front and then sort of pray goodbye to them. And but the problem, of course, is it is for normal Christians, because this isn't just for the SAS version of Christianity. This is for all of us. And both passages basically say that God is a generous, abundant God. Therefore, you are to trust him. That's what it is. That's what it says, basically. So as you go into this horrible situation in Babylon, you are to trust the God who will keep you and provide for you. And the more you bless, the more you will be blessed. Because we turn it the other way around, don't we? We think, well, if I bless myself, it's going to be all right, you see. But no, God says the more you bless out, the more you will get blessed in, you see. And likewise, in Luke chapter 10, when they're sent out into this harvest field, inverted commas, don't take anything with you. You don't take purse or sandal. You don't take anything with you. It's all going to be provided for you. It's all going to be provided for you. Now, that's a direct contradiction to the world, of course, because we come from a God and a Bible which is of abundance, but the world lives in scarcity, basically, doesn't it? It says there's... Do you know there's not enough to go around? There's not enough to go around. So if there's not enough to go around, what do you do when there's not enough to go around? You hold on to what you have, don't you? It's human instinct, isn't it? You kind of, you know, another recession, another problem, cost of living, all that stuff. So you hold on to what you have. And you protect what you have. And you hoard what you have. Because when you haven't got enough, and when you think there's not enough around, nothing's ever enough, is it then? There's a quote by, they did an interview with all the millionaires from the lottery, and they kind of interviewed them. And there was one kind of comment which kept coming up all the time. And the comment was, if I'd only won £1 million more than I won. You're thinking, that's ridiculous. But enough's never enough, you see, when you think everything's scarce. This is a wonderful, abundant God. So if you go into the world serving his agenda, you're to be a source of blessing and working to bring the harvest of the kingdom, because you have been blessed. You believe in a God who is a God of blessing and a God of abundance and a good God. Therefore, you go into the world giving and giving and giving and giving, because you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And that's really the heart of these passages, and it's the heart of the Bible, because it says life is essentially a blessing, a rich, wonderful, abundant, life-giving, beautiful blessing. It's overflowing. It can't run out. It's ever-replenishing, and God is richly providing for our every need and wants to bless the world we live in. Now, you either believe that, or you believe the opposite. You can't half believe it. That's the problem with God, actually, is you can't half believe God. We do. We spend our time half believing God, you know. But actually, you can't really. It's ridiculous when you think about it. Either God's God or he's not. He's either a God of abundance or he's not. But there is this other thing in the world, isn't there? Scarcity, scarcity. Not enough, not enough, not enough. How much time and anxiety do we spend worrying about whether we got enough? Whether you got enough? And yet God is the God who keeps blessing and keeps giving, and he's the God. And you get it right the way through the Bible. I mean, it's just right from the very beginning, of course, in Genesis chapter 1, where it just talks about every time he made something, he said, it's good. We're talking about the goodness. It's good. Good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. The only time he ever said it isn't that good is when he just made people, well, sorry, made mankind, and then he made woman. And he said, ah, no, it's all right now. Phew, got away with that. You know, he endowed everything with blessing. The whole thing about the plants and the animals and the fish and the birds and humankind, be fruitful and multiply. Keep multiplying. Because it's God's blessing, you see? God's blessing. And then, of course, creation. There's so much around that God almost has to take a day off, which is Sabbath, you see? If you believe in the goodness of God, you can take a day off. If you don't believe in the goodness of God, you don't take a day off. A lot of people don't take any days off whatsoever, actually, because they think, if I don't work today, it's a tussle, it's a battle we're actually facing in terms of our society. Psalm 101 just goes on and on. It's this beautiful, long creation psalm, which verse 27, 28, you give everything their food in due season. You feed everybody. You give your breath to the world. If you give your breath to the world, it will live. And if you ever stop breathing, the world will die. That's stunning, isn't it, when you think about it? So I take another breath. And I live. Because God is in this world. And he's the great lungs of this world. And go all the way through the Bible. And then, of course, you know, you get into Abraham and the blessing to the nations, don't you? How many descendants are going to Abraham? Well, it's going to be hard to count, to be honest. Because the God who is the God of blessing is hard to count. It really is hard to count. In fact, scarcity only comes into the Bible until, it doesn't come into the Bible until Genesis chapter 47, when there's a bloke called Pharaoh, interestingly, who says, we haven't got enough, so I'm going to make them work harder and harder and harder. And then, of course, there's this tussle between this God of abundance and this Pharaoh of scarcity. And then it's God who, of course, you know, wins the day. And interestingly, just before the Israelites leave to leave Pharaoh, I mean, it actually says he calls Moses and Aaron and he says, "Would you bless me?" Isn't that interesting? The man who is the poster boy for scarcity sees something in them that says, "Would you bless me?" And then he changes his mind and tries to kill them. And then they have to go across a whole river and so on and so on. They end up in the wilderness. And then they suddenly think, hold on, there's no food here. Where is the God of abundance now? And they think, we had a better life back there. And then this flaky stuff starts falling from heaven. It's called manna. Hebrew for what the heck is this? What the heck is this? And every day it came down. And interestingly, you couldn't hoard it because it went off. You had to trust God for the next day. Isn't that interesting? It went off. You had to trust God for the next day. Keep yourself to yourself. That's scarcity, isn't it? Keep yourself to yourself, hoard as much as you can, and protect what you have. I think life is pretty much this battle for most of us between the God of abundance and the God of, well, the gods of scarcity. I think that, for a lot of us, is actually the whole journey of Christian faith. I think this is how we view providence of God. I think we think our lives are the big circle. And I think we think providence of God, the goodness of God, the abundance of God is a little circle within the bigger circle. Well, sorry, I don't know about you. I live life like this. The trouble is God won't have that because that's actually how we to live life. The providence of God is the big thing. And my life is the little thing inside it. It is good, very good. Beautiful, the goodness of God, Psalm 104, scarcity versus abundance, and so on and so on. And then, of course, you get to the Lord's Prayer, which says, give us this day our daily bread, because you can't store it. You know, you were asking for testimonies today. Well, in a sense, you store them in your heart, but you're looking for a testimony today and tomorrow, aren't you? Yeah? For Lent, we're looking for another testimony, aren't we? Looking for a bit more manna to come down from heaven. A bit more answer to our prayers. And then, of course, with Jesus, the abundance of God arrives, doesn't it? I mean, really arrives. The abundance of God knows no bounds. So someone who can't walk, walks. And somebody who can't see, sees. And the poor are lifted up. And the woman who is driven out of her local synagogue because she has been bleeding for 12 years, reaches out and touches him. And he should have become unholy, because that was the law in those days. If you're touched by a woman like that, you become unholy. But who became unholy? Well, she became holy, and Jesus didn't become unholy, because holiness, like most of the goodness of God, isn't something to be protected. It's something to be released. You take it out there, don't you? That's what it is. That's that missional thing. Go, go, go. Keep going. Go and bless. Go and bless. Take this beauty and this goodness and this abundance and go out there, because the abundance of God has arrived in Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Well, you know the abundance of God then. The beautiful abundance of God, the goodness of God. And then you get this stunning story, don't you, where the disciples, where this battle between scarcity and abundance really hits. So he's been teaching for these 3 days or so, and the disciples are walking around. They're doing their risk assessments, thinking, hold on, they haven't eaten pig in it. It's over 5,000 here. What the heck are we going to do? You know what I mean? We better go back in an orderly fashion and try and get to the town and so on. And, it's a bit of a way. Some of them may not make it, but... And Jesus says, sorry, all that thinking just goes through your mind. Does that operate in your mind? Sorry, perhaps it's just people from Manchester. all that working through and all that, what I mean. Whether it's your income and your budgeting or your Is there enough love around? That's another thing, that's scarcity. Is there enough? There's not enough love. There's limitation of love, actually. You can only love so much. And then some people tell me that you can only forgive so much. Well, Jesus had a bit of a figure for forgiveness, really. 70 times 7, which really meant you've got more than enough grace to forgive and to keep forgiving and to keep forgiving because the abundance of God is in you. Of course, it's not in you, but it's him in you, enabling you to be the one who gives and to gives and gives. So, you know, they're doing their risk assessments. They're thinking, there is literally no food here. And Jesus says, what have you got? And this poor kid with his lunchbox. Well, we've got this kid. You know, I just imagine the kid going, oh, that's mine. And go, well, we got some few loaves and a couple of fish. And there's a beautiful passage where it says, he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Same four words used at the Passover before he's crucified. Same four words. Whenever the Bible uses the same four words, there's a reason for that. Because this is taken, we receive it as the goodness of God to us. He blesses it, so this thing can become much more than actually we ever envisage it becoming. He broke it. There's always sacrifice involved, isn't there, in the blessing and the goodness of God. And then it's given. It's given. And then he demonstrates that the world is actually filled with abundance. So he says, divide them into groups of 50 and 100, and your disciples take over. So there you are as a disciple. You've now got 1/12 of this meager bit of food. I know if I was a disciple, I'd go for the 50. I wouldn't go for the 100. they must have a bit of an argument, you know. Oh, no, 50, I'm fine for that. That's my faith level. thinking they ain't going to get to one. And they just give it out. And they give it out. I don't know what happened. I mean, I don't know what happened, but... And they gave it out. And they kept giving 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 it out. And then he says, collect up all the leftovers. This is the parable of the goodness of God. This is the parable of the goodness of God. I love your allotment and all that stuff. I would tell my story about our allotment. But when you put squash in the ground, you know, and there's a lot of them, isn't there? I mean, they really grow. I don't like them, actually, but my wife told me we had to grow them. And and they all came, we weren't very good at this because they all came at once. And so what you end up doing is giving them away, don't you? Because you can't eat them. But that's the abundance of God, isn't it? You just keep giving and God keeps giving. Living in the abundance of God. That's what this is about, brothers and sisters. Are you going to live in scarcity? Are you going to be the kind of people who just... hide away and have our private moments and hope that we get to heaven pretty quickly? Are we the kind of people who are going to defend holiness and keep ourselves self-safe? Or are we the kind of people that says, we're not a large church, but I tell you, we believe in the abundance of God. we haven't got a lot, but we believe in the God who can give and make miracles out of what we have. And that's all he's asking for you personally, isn't it? You know, you and I haven't got a lot, have we, to be honest? You know, we are what we are, and we are who we are. Some of us have slightly better talents than others. I mean, Les can play guitar. And some of you can do other things that others of you can't do. But to be honest, we're not great shakes, are we? But with the abundance of God, he takes what is given, and then he multiplies it, doesn't he? Praise God for that, yeah? Hallelujah. This is our little estate. When God told us to leave, I used to lead one of the largest churches in the north of England and one in the richest of areas in Altrincham, which is dead posh where all the footballers live, all right? I could tell you stories about that, but anyway. For 22 years. And God said, time for you to go now, you see. And I go, well, Lord, where would you like me to serve? And he said, when I'm ready, I'll tell you. I thought, well, that's not really the answer I was looking for. So I thought, I'll keep this quiet. Because obviously, you know, you can't resign, can you, without a job? I mean, that's stupid. And then we had the financial crash hit in 2008, 2009. And my great faith teaching really didn't show up a lot because the budget fell by 15%. So I had to make some redundancies, you see, in the staff. Sorry, no one had lost their job and their mortgages were cheaper than they were before. In fact, they had more money. What's that about? That's interesting, isn't it? Christians, okay. I think they were Christians. I mean, they're in the church. they had more money, but then they just cut the giving down, I think. And I knew I couldn't make a redundancy because I knew I was going. I didn't know where I was going. So I resigned. And I am your redundancy. And then we waited for God, and then somebody came with a check for the year to pay for the year. I don't know if you had people write your checks for the year. I never had that before in my life. And then it got to about 9 months, and I haven't got a house because it was a church house, and we get out of the church house, and I had a child to get into sixth form college, and then God provided this little house on this estate, which is 2 miles from where I was in the poorest area of Manchester, okay? From the richest to the poorest. You're not meant to go that way, are you? You're meant to go the other way. I remember my wife saying, she said, May the 1st, if we don't know what we're doing by May the 1st, you're going to pass to one of those churches in the northeast or in London that want you. I said, I don't feel called there. She said, I don't care. You never felt called to Altrincham. I said, what time, May the 1st? She said 6 o'clock in the evening. The weekend before Monday, the weekend before, I would love to tell you it was the most faith-filled, peaceful weekend of my life. I was not happy. I thought it's awful. The anxiety, the fear, horrendous. Did I believe in a God of scarcity or a God of abundance? Well, I think I believed in a God of scarcity, actually, at that point. And then midday, I get this phone call from someone, says, God's told us to lend you some money, you see. And I'm doing the maths here. I got a little bit of money from my mum's passing. And I thought, well, you know, 2 grand ain't going to help. And they said this incredible amount of money. They said, would that help? I said, yeah, that'll help. And we found this little house, which is trashed by 2 drug addicts, going for about £70,000. It gave us enough money to do it up, and God provided. God provided. Let me show the garden. This is what the garden looked like. It was full of weeds. The allotments folk. It was full of weeds this high. I mean, they were snarling weeds. I mean, they were living, you know what I mean? They were. And then it had windows and mattresses and glass and, you know, all the paraphernalia of drugs. And we tried to clear it. And then I borrowed some weed killer from a farmer friend of mine. And he said, oh, I'll give it a couple of weeks. And that's the result, Chernobyl. But somebody told me that Mrs. Burrows used to own this house when it was first built by the council in the 1950s. And her garden was called Buckingham Palace. So I thought there must be some good soil here. We ripped out the house and I became a builder. That's a whole other story. But God had the grace and generosity to give me a son-in-law who's a builder, by the way, which is the best blessing of a son-in-law. Don't pray for lawyers or don't do that. Pray for builders or plumbers, okay? That's the key. So he would tell me what to do every day, and then he'd come around in the evening and show me how to do it properly, and I had to redo it. I built this house, and this is the result of it. That was a good point. And then Leslie just loves gardens, she said, we're going to do something with this. If God spoke a word of Buckingham Palace over a garden, then it's got to be reinvented, that, hasn't it? Yeah. So she created this. God of abundance, you see. There's no waste ground to God. He doesn't believe in waste ground. It's all his. The earth is his. The fullness therein. God of abundance. Do you believe in the God of abundance? I think you're an abundant church, actually. I do. I just feel that about you. It's the goodness of God in it. And you, sorry, you know that. And there's a world out there waiting for some abundance, isn't there? There's a world out there waiting for some generosity and love and some kindness and some goodness. That's what it's waiting for. It really doesn't need any more condemnation. They're condemning themselves most of the time. They just have to go on social media, and that kills your spirit, doesn't it? They just need some grace and some love, and they need to see some life. And you need to gather around allotments or wherever you gather around and build community, because people out there, their lives are falling apart, literally falling apart. The cost of living thing and the whole 6 months, I think the poverty levels have just gone a whole level lower. But are we going to be the people who live in that mindset, or the people who live in the mindset of the abundance of God, that we don't have a lot of God, but you're the God who can multiply this, and you're the God who can change this, and you're the God who can bless Eastbourne? What do we have? We have the church. Well, God, bring it together in unity, because it's one church anyway. It's not separate churches. You're one church. God really doesn't see the differences, to be honest. If you love him, you love him, and that's it, and then you're a part of his church. So that's what you bring together, because that's what you have. And then you bring your gifts and your little offering, and then Jesus transforms it into something absolutely stunning. And it's full of, you know, you're taken and you're blessed. And then you're broken, because we immerse ourselves in this world, and it's a broken place, actually. So we're not immune from the brokenness. We're not immune from the suffering. Of course we're not. And all of you know that. If you live life long enough, you know the suffering. My wife left me 18 months ago to be with Jesus. And then she's left me this pig in garden, which I've now got a... It's the biggest stress in my life, this garden. It really is. I don't know. I've got one of these apps now. I go, you know, it tells your plant from a weed. I think I'm pulling up less plants than I used to anyway. Because there's something about this picture for us, which is a calling we've always had in our lives, really, that he wants to... In fact, he said to us very early in our marriage, every place where you put your foot, I'll give you the land. And literally gave us land, actually. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us. You're a good God. You're a good God. Now, Lord, would you help us live in your word? Would you help us live on the history of our testimony in you? Would you help us live together to encourage each other in this as well? Because being out there, Father, on a daily basis is hard work, because we live in this culture of scarcity. And even in a rich town like Eastbourne, Lord, in a sense it's based on scarcity, because it's based on hoarding and, you know, feeling comfortable and getting as much as you can. But God, you're the God beyond that. You keep the waves, as it said in that poem, coming in every single day. Every single day, and the sunrise rises every single day upon Eastbourne. You're the God of Eastbourne. You're the God of this land. You're the God of the allotments. You're the God of our gardens and our homes and our kitchens. You're the God of our children, the God of our schools. You're the God of our health service. You're the God of this place. And you're an abundant God. Now help us live in faith. And challenge God Almighty this other narrative which keeps invading our minds through the news and social media all the time, that somehow there's not enough. God Almighty, you have given more than enough. You have given your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray your blessing on this church, that this would be the church that holds out its hands and has a couple of fish and some loaves of bread and simply says, Lord, this is what we have. Now do a miracle. Do a miracle. And I pray the miraculous abundance of God upon this community in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you would be so blessed. It will overflow from you into this community, into your neighborhoods, into your friendships, into your families, that this would be a fountain of blessing, a fountain of blessing coming out, coming out, coming out, pouring out into the barren, barren world of scarcity, and bringing the soil to life and producing great gardens, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.